Morning. Today's daf and brachos nun aleph. We're nun aleph from the aleph. We're towards the top of the amud. We are beginning bal mine, four lines from the top of the amud. Yesterday's gemara, as we are now ending the seventh parak of brachos. So yesterday's amud dealt with on the amud base the idea of respecting bread, and respecting food, all food for that matter. Bread may have a special place in terms of the respect that we have to have for it, but still. The basic idea of the Gemara is that you're not allowed to throw bread, you're not allowed to ruin bread. Bread is meant to be eaten. I know that's a simple statement. You didn't have to come to the Daf Yomi to hear that, but that's the basic idea of regarding bread. As such, the Gemara yesterday, at the bottom of yesterday's Daf, entertained the idea, what if I ate a food without having made a bracha? So I forgot to make a bracha, and now my memory is coming back to me as the food is in my mouth. So what do I do under those circumstances? So it really depends. In other words, you have to balance the idea that, of course, you have to make a bracha, and it's not too late now. You can make a bracha, and at the same time, if I spit out the food, and I might not want to swallow it again, so then I'm going to be wasting the food, and that'll be obviously bizayon. It'll be bal tashchis. It'll be destruction of the food. So what do I do in those circumstances? So we learned yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, that you have to weigh the issue and three possible outcomes. One, you may have to end up swallowing it. That's talking about liquid. We're spitting it out is not an option. You can't make the bracha while the liquid's in your mouth, so that's with a liquid. If it is a food that does not become disgusting if I were to spit it out, so then you spit it out, make a bracha, and then re-ingest the food. Or the last option is that a food where if I were to spit it out, I wouldn't want to swallow it again, so then you move it to the side of your mouth, you make the bracha, and then you go ahead and you swallow it. Why not make a bracha? Why not always move the food to the side of your mouth? So the Gemara said yesterday that the preferable way to make a bracha is with your mouth empty. So you don't want to have anything in your mouth while making the bracha. So that if it's a possibility, it is certainly the optimal way to make a bracha. The Gemara, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Bal mine.
Even if you finish eating, let's say if you really swallow and then you remember, you should be able to make a bracha also.
Right. That's it's coming up right now. Bal mine Rav Chista. So the following question was asked from Rav Chista Mishach v'shasav lo birech. Mach shiachzav v'yavarech. So let's say you ate, you drank, and you didn't make a bracha. So can you now make a bracha? So can you make a bracha post-consumption? That's the basic question of the Gemara over here. If we didn't have this Gemara, so my inclination would be, of course, no, that you can't. In other words, this is not a birchas mitzvah, this is birchas nenen. So birchas mitzvah. Just one second. So by birchas mitzvah, so the bracha is going on the mitzvah, but obviously you could do the mitzvah with or without the bracha. Obviously the chachamim are misakin to make a bracha. We're going to make a bracha, but the bracha of the mitzvah is basically hovering over the mitzvah. But when we're talking about birchas of food, that's birchas anenin. Birchas anenin, so as we learned in the beginning of the sixth parak, so that is what gives me permission to eat. So over here, I didn't ask permission. I just ate. So one could make an argument that, no, there's no way you can make a bracha after you ate. In other words, this is a birchas anenin. So the Gemara's response, so Amr Lahu Mishachal Shum Verechonodev Yachzav Yachal Shum Acher Kidei Shehe Rechonodev. So Rav Chista, instead of giving a direct answer, gives an indirect answer. And his answer is, well, let's imagine. Let's say you eat garlic and your breath is awful. And now you say to yourself, oh, you know what? I know the solution. I'm going to continue eating garlic. Well, that's not the solution. That is only going to exacerbate the problem. And to which the Gemara now is saying that, okay, so now you did something wrong, so what do you do? Should you compound it? Meaning at this point in time, it's too late. Seemingly that's the answer. Now, Amar Avina, now seemingly that's the answer, but then the Gemara comes up, the Gemara continues, and it almost seems like a non sequitur. Amar Avina Hilkach Afil Gamar Seudas Yachzir Veivarech. So Ravina says, so therefore, when you finish your meal, so then go ahead and make a bracha anew. Now, right. So when you hear the question, when you hear the answer, and then you hear the conclusion, so something went wrong in translation. Something happened over here in the Gemara, where the Gemara asked a question, can I make a bracha after I eat? The Gemara says, well, all you're doing is just compounding the issue. And then the Gemara says, oh, okay, so therefore, when you finish your meal, so you go ahead and you make a bracha. It's kind of strange. But well, let's continue in the Gemara, and you'll see exactly where the Gemara heads in this discussion. The time the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Tava Viala, Omer Bealiaso, Bruchat Hashem, Lokin Melcholam, Asher Kedushan Mimisosav Sivan, Ola Tvila. So the Gemara says, well, here's the halacha. The halacha is that when do you make a Bruchat Tvila? After you Tova in the mikvah. Now again, the Gemara over here is extraordinarily challenging because we're asking by Bruchat Nenin. And then the Gemara brings a proof from Bruchat Mitzvah. And you can easily make a distinction regarding the categories of Birchas Hanan and Birchas HaMitzvah. And so, but the Gemara right now seemingly is, you know, floating back and forth into one category, out of the other category. It is admittedly a very challenging Gemara. And even though the Gemara says, now this is true what we just said, you do make a Birchas HaTfilah after you tell them the mikvah. Velohi, but the Gemara says, but the comparison is not a good comparison. Because when it comes to tefillah, so on many occasions, a person can't make the bracha prior to that person going to the mikvah. Now, why can't the person make a bracha before it goes into the mikvah? So Rashi gives a description over here because he's a Baal Keri. Now, again, that's not always true. There are many other people tov on the mikvah, but often is the time that a Baal Keri has to tov on the mikvah. Baal Keri, we go back to towards the beginning of the Masech Daf Chaf Dalet, where the Gemara there talked about a Baal Keri not being able to daven or learn Torah, and so until he tovels in the mikvah, and so included in davening, including learning Torah, is making brachos. So this Baal Keri can't make a bracha prior to going to the mikvah. So therefore, he can only make a bracha after he goes to the mikvah. And what you'll have to say here is that since he's in a position where he's going to make a bracha afterwards, so therefore we're going to impose that everybody do and make a bracha after they tovel in the mikvah. But anyway, but the Gemara's point is that under those circumstances, because the Ein Breira, because there's no choice, so therefore the bracha is going to be postponed till afterwards. But over here, Mikara Gavra Chazev Ahovi Itche Itche. But over here, the person was in a position where he could have made a bracha. He just missed his opportunity. It was negligence. And so that's why he didn't make a bracha. And so as a result of that, it's pushed off. And since it's pushed off, so now it's pushed off and you don't have a chance anymore. So the Gemara, admittedly, the flow of the Gemara is a little bit challenging, where the Gemara starts off with a question. The Gemara seemingly gives a very clear answer. Question, can I make a bracha after I eat? Answer, what would be the point of that? All you're doing is eating more garlic, asserting that your breath is going to improve by the consumption of more garlic, meaning seemingly the answer is no. Then the Gemara follows up with, oh, and now I see that you should make a bracha after you eat. That part of the Gemara is just a little rocky. And then the Gemara says, and by the mikvah, we do find that the person makes a bracha afterwards. And the Gemara concludes, yeah, but that's different there because there, Ein Breira, there's no other option. You can't make a bracha beforehand. Again, not everybody, but many people. And therefore, since those people can't make a bracha beforehand, so the Chachamim are mistaken to make the bracha afterwards. And since the institution wants to make a bracha afterwards, but that's specific only to the scenario of toveling in the mikvah. But by all other opportunities where you had a chance to make a bracha beforehand and you didn't, so therefore, it's too late. It's nidcha, it's pushed off, and therefore you can't make a bracha afterwards. It's an important sugya, obviously. It's a critical sugya in terms of the efficacy of brachas after you have eaten. But truth of the matter is, the Gemara is a little bit challenging. I didn't, just so you should know, just a little wrinkle in the whole discussion. If you look at Rashi, Maushi Yachzor, so Rashi, I presented the Gemara the way Rashi does. Maushi Yachzor, Rashi writes over there, La'achar Achila Vishtiya. After you ate and drink, that's the way I presented the Gemara. You see over there, there's a Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon does an editing of the Rashi, and the Vilna Gaon thinks that over there, what Rashi should have said or meant to have said, or maybe he feels that this was the correct use in Rashi, is be'emsa, right? Where you're in the middle of your meal. In other words, he's still eating. Now that version of Rashi, on one hand, makes the answer of the Gemara a little bit better. But then, what's the question? Meaning, if you're in the middle of the meal, so then of course you should make a bracha on the upcoming food. Then that part is also difficult to understand. It is an important sugya. It's just very tricky to read, even on a simple daf yomi superficial level. But okay.
You still have an anoa to finish eating, so you have an anoa afterwards.
Yeah, but that's okay. I understand. That's not the Gemara's answer. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara continues. Asparagus. Now, we have a word in English called asparagus. It's a vegetable. So the Gemara over here, when referring to asparagus, even though the word sounds awfully similar, it's not. Asparagus of the Gemara is some sort of drink in the morning. It's a concoction in the morning. It is wine-based or beer-based. Okay, so it's a great way to start the day. Okay, and the Gemara actually is going to favor heavily this particular drink that was apparently extraordinarily popular. And for the most part, therapeutic and really good. As I mentioned, there are two types. There's going to be the wine-based and beer-based. And the Gemara is going to talk about the benefits and sometimes the shortcomings of these particular drinks. Asparagus yafalele v'tov le'inayim. V'kol shekel l'bnei me'ayim. So here the Brisa says that asparagus is good for the heart and good for the eyes and it's good for the intestines. V'aragobo yafal l'chol gufal. Now a steady diet of it is good for your whole body. But a steady diet of it in moderation. But if you overindulge in this drink, so that's not good. Okay, so that's the Brisa. So the Brisa obviously is pro-asparagus. Now the Gemara says, here's the confusion. As I pointed out, there are two varieties. There's the wine variety and the beer variety. So here we're talking about the wine variety because it's talking about how it's good for the heart. Okay, great. The problem is that it also says that it's good for the intestines and you don't have a drink that's good for both. And the Gemara now makes that point. So the Gemara says that it's good for the La'at, that's an acronym, and it's bad for the Ramat, that too is an acronym. So the acronym over here of La'at is Lev, Einayim, and Tchol. So it's good for the heart, for the eyes, and for the spleen. And the Ramat is the Rosh, the head, the Ma'ayim, the intestines, and the Tachtonios. And that is your bowels. So that's what it's bad for. So the Gemara's now assumption is that it's, you're going to have the wine variety, so great for the La'at, but not good for the Ramat. Meanwhile, the Brisa where we opened up the discussion said that it's good for both the eyes and the intestines. So that is that kind of elixir. It's a unicorn. It doesn't exist. So the Gemara says Kitanyi b'miyushan. So the Gemara says no, it does exist. In other words, if you get a wine and a vintage, so then it can be good for everything. Kedinan, the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah Nedarim, Kodim Yayim, Shani Tomeim, Shayayin Kashal of Neimayim. So the person swears off wine, and he gives an explanation. I'm swearing off wine, and by the way, I mean the term literally, meaning it's a neder. So through a neder, he says that he's not going to drink wine, and he says, and the reason why is because Kashal of Neimayim, meaning despite the fact that I've been suffering intestinally, but I've been drinking it, I got to stop. So he makes a neder to encourage himself to stop. Fine. And so people are hearing him, and people say to him, can we help you out over here? Did you know that vintage wine is actually very good for your intestine? Vishasak. And to that he was quiet, meaning quiet acquiescence. And he's like, oh, that's good to know. So what that acquiescence does now is it actually modifies his neder. And asur b'chashu mutar b'miyushan. So he's not allowed to drink new wine because that's going to be bad for his intestines. And he explained that he's swearing off wine because it's bad for his intestines. And meanwhile, the miyushan, the older wine that he's allowed to have, that is not included in his neder, since people corrected him and since he was quiet, slash he acquiesced. So that means now that the neder is modified. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara now quotes the following brisa. Shishat dvarim nemru ba'asparagus. There are six things that are said regarding asparagus. Now, in this list of six things, so you'll see that the Gemara both treats on the physical level and on the metaphysical level as well. So some of them I'll explain, you know, to the best of my ability, and some of them I'm not going to be able to explain to the best of my ability because it deals with the metaphysics as well. So number one, Ein Shosen Osar La Kishu Chai Umale. So when drinking it, it has to be chai, meaning undiluted, and the cup has to be full. Number two, Mekabla B'yamin V'shosei B'smol. You accept it in your right hand and you drink it with your left hand. There may be a physical explanation of that, but I assume that it's put under the metaphysical. Ein Masichin Acharav V'ein Mafsikin Bo. You cannot speak after you drink it. You cannot stop while you're drinking it, meaning it has to be continuous. When you return it, you can only give it back to the person who gave you. Again, I assume this is all metaphysics. You have to spit after you drink it. And then the chaser. So what should the chaser be after you have the asparagus drink? So you should have something that is made up of the same constitution. So seemingly, what the brisa means is that let's say it's a wine variety, so then you should follow up with grapes. If it's a beer variety, so then whatever the beer is made up of. If the beer is made up of dates, have dates. If the beer is made up of barley, have some barley, etc., etc. The Hatayim, the Gemara says, and some can also elevate pass. So the Gemara says, now we have another brisa on this last point, on the sixth point. So the chaser should be bread. So lokasha habadechamer habadeshechra. So the Gemara says, well, the difference is of which variety you're having. Are you having of the wine variety or are you having of the beer variety? Of the wine variety, I'm saying it like Rashi right now. Of the wine variety, bread. Of the beer variety, so whatever the beer is made up of. If it's a date beer, have some dates. If it's a fig beer, have some figs, etc., etc. Tanichada, we have one braisa lalat yafa larama kasha. Vitanya idach laramat yafa lalat kasha. So the Gemara says that we have conflicting braisas regarding what it's good for and what it's bad for. And the two braisas are literally the inverse of one another. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, habitachamar, habitashichra. Again, the distinction is which variety? The wine variety or the beer variety? Wine variety, good for the heart, good for the eyes. And by the way, the heart-eye connection, we see it again and again throughout Shas. So it's good for the heart, good for the eye, good for the spleen. The beer variety, so that's good for the ramat, the rosh, the me'ayim, the tachtoniot. So good. So that is the difference. And basically, it's what do you want improved? And at the same time also, what do you have not to look forward to when drinking each of the varieties? Tanichad, one brisa tells us, Rak acharav loke, that if you spit afterwards, so you're going to get harmed. V'tangidach lo rak acharav loke. And the other brisa says, if you don't spit, you are going to get harmed, meaning you should spit. So lo kasha habidachamer habidashechra. So once again, the Gemara makes a distinction, and without Rashi, I'd be guessing. So Rashi writes, b'dechamra, so after wine, you shouldn't spit, and after beer, there you should spit. So the Amrav Ashi Hashad Amart Lo Rakach Rav Loke Meim of Nizrakim Afil Bifnei Melech Bifnei HaMelech. The Gemara says, look, this idea that not spitting is going to be harmful, so therefore you should spit. So the Gemara says it's such a critical factor of this drink that it demands spitting afterwards. Even if you're in front of a king, you should spit because this is something which is a serious sakana, and so therefore spitting becomes a critical component of the drink, even though it's, you know, you have a king that you may be, right, correct, correct. You may be offending. I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. This is now the second time in our Masechta that we had Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. We go back to Daf Zion. That's a long time ago in the Masechta where we had Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Shoshadvarim sachli suriyol sar hapnim. And here he's discussing, he's talking with a malach. Now, in the first encounter we had with him, so he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right, the first time we encountered him back in Daf Zion, so that was his Yishmael ben Elisha. It's the Torah at the top of the Emun Zion Amid Aleph. Pamachas Nichnasi LaHakdir Ketoros. We're familiar with his Gemara, turned into a popular song. Lifnai V'lifnim V'raisi Akasio Ka Hashem Svakoshu Yoshev Akisei Ramanisa. Now, presumably over there, he's having a discussion with Hashem. Now, debatable, because it says Akasriel, but he's also in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and no one's allowed to be in Kodesh HaKadoshim, other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Kohen Gadol. So, anyway, and our Gemara over here, he's conversing with a Malach. So this idea that he speaks with the metaphysical, that's, you know, it's the second time now in the Masechta that he's doing so. Back to our Gemara, Amar Yishmael ben Elisha, Shoshadvarim Sachli Suriel, Sarah Pnim. So he's having a conversation with a Malach by the name of Suriel. So Altitol, and he says three things. One, Altitol Chalutcha B'Shachris Miyad HaShamash V'Altil Bash. Don't take your shirt from the Shamash to put it on from your attendant, but rather you should take the shirt yourself. Now again, what are guiding these particular halachas are things that are Lamala Minateva. These are all metaphysical, and so I'm not going to be in a position where I can explain them, but okay. Number two, Altitol Yadcha Mimishal Onatol Yadav. Don't have somebody wash your hands who himself has not washed his hands. Right? Rashi says this is a reference to the washing that's done in the morning until Tilas Yadayim. Number three, Al Tachzir Kos Aspargus Ala Mishnah Sulo. And when being given the Kos Aspargus and you're now returning it, only return it to the person who gave you. And here the Gemara says it point blank. This is a metaphysical issue. Mimnei Shetach Safis V'Amrilei Astalganis Shamalache Chavala Mitzapim Lola Adam V'Omri Memasa Yevo Adam Liadi And so what's going to happen is you're going to have one of the forces. The Gemara has one of two ways in which to describe these malachei chavala, these forces of destruction. And they're going to be waiting for a person to trip over any one of the three things that we just mentioned. And he's going to be ensnared by the malachei chavala because he violated any one of these three things. Rabbi Yeshua Malevi says, there are three things that I spoke about directly with the Malach HaMavis. Number one, Altitol Chalutcha Shachris Mi'ad HaShamash V'Tilbash. So similar to what we just saw, don't take your garment, your shirt, from your attendant. Take it directly. Number two, Altitol Yadcha Mimishal Anatol Yadav. Again, a repeat of not having somebody else wash your hands who himself has not washed your hands already. And number three, al tamod lifnei hanashim b'kisha shechozos min ha-meis. And don't walk in conjunction with women as we're coming back from a funeral. Why? Because the malach ha-mavis stays with the women as they are walking back from the funeral. V'charvi b'yadi, my sword is in my hand. V'yishli v'shus l'chabel, and I'm given permission to damage. And so therefore, encountering women after they leave the funeral would be dangerous. Now, what if you do encounter women? Is there something you could do? So the Gemara gives a number of pieces of advice. Linshav meduchte, arba amos, jump from your spot four amos, meaning move away from the spot that you're currently in. Ika nahara liavre. If there's a river, go to the other side of the river. Ve'ika darka achrina leizoba. If there's another pathway, go down the other pathway. Ve'ika guda leko achora. If there's a wall, go behind the wall. Ve'ilo lehadra ape. In the very least, turn your face away. Ve'lema, and say the pasuk of Yamar Hashem ala satan. Igar Hashem b'chal v'chulei. Ad dechalfi minei, until the women pass you. Okay. Am Rabbi Zera, am Rabbi Abao, v'am Rila b'masnisa tana asar dvar nemer b'koshel bracha. Okay. Now we return to halacha. We're talking about koshel bracha. Interesting Rashi over here. Koshel bracha, Rashi says, birchas amazon, the cup that we're going to be benching over. The Gemara over here makes an assumption that you're going to be benching over a cup of wine. Okay. This was never formalized as a halacha in the Mishnah or in the Gemara. Meaning the Mishnah never taught us you're benching over a cup of wine. And the Gemara never says it explicitly, but there's an assumption that you're benching over a cup of wine. Under what circumstances is it absolutely required to bench over a cup of wine? So you know this is going to be a gray area. Because, right, you've gone to people's houses where you've seen some people bench over a cup of wine, you've seen others not bench over a cup of wine. Sometimes it depends if there's 10, sometimes it depends if it's sheva brachos, meaning it doesn't seem to be a hardline approach in terms of whether or not you're benching in a cup of wine. The Rishonim themselves are not in agreement in terms of to what degree a person should be benching over a cup of wine, even if you open up a Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch also gives multiple opinions in terms of when it's required or recommended to bench over a cup of wine. So in terms of an absolute obligation, so it's great in terms of whether it's absolutely obligated. But once you are opting to a kosher bracha, so then you have to follow the following rules of the Gemara in terms of how to treat the kosher bracha. Now, the Gemara is going to give us two lists. One list, which we're going to see right now, which is a list of 10. And then there's going to be a secondary list, which is basically going to distill it to just four things. So we're going to start with the list of 10. The Gemara is going to go through each one of them, so I'm going to read it quickly. And then when we get down to the four, so obviously we'll know, once we know 10, we'll know the four of the 10. So, Asar Dvarim Nemru B'Kosher Bracha Taon Hadachah V'Shtifah. So one and two that it requires hadach and shtifa. Again, every one of these are going to be explained. I'm just going to number them right now. Number three has to be chai. Number four has to be malay. Number five has to be itur. Number six has to be ituf. Number seven, no lo b'shtei yadav. Number eight, no sno b'yamin. Number nine, amagviyam and akarka tefach. And number ten, no sein einav bo. So those are the 10 things that must be done with the kosher bracha. Each one of them will be explained. And v'yeshomim some ad af mishagur b'matal anshe beiso. And the kosher bracha after it's drunk, it should be passed over to the wife so that the wife can drink it. Okay. I'm Rav Yochanan Anu, Ein Lanu Ella Arba Bavad. Now Rav Yochanan says, of the list of 10, so the four that we subscribe to is going to be only Hadacha Shtifa Chayu Malay. So of those 10, those are the four Rav Yochanan say that are critical, and those are the ones that you need to take care for. Okay, and so now that we know the 10, and we know Rav Yochanan's four of the 10, so now let's go back and let's go say over what is pshat in these 10 things that need to be done with the kosher bracha. So Tanam, we learned on the brayso, hadacha min bifnim v'shtifa min b'chutz. Hadacha, an interior rinse of the cup. Shtifa, an exterior rinse of the cup. So the cup has to be clean before being used for a kosher bracha and has to be clean both on the inside and the outside. Hadacha just simply means interior. Shtifa means exterior. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol mevercha kosher malei, nos nin laum. Sorry. Yeah. What we're doing now is we're jumping forward to Malay, okay? And Chai, interesting. The Gemara over here doesn't really explain Chai. Now, for one of two reasons. One is because it's kind of self-evident. In fact, we just described the asparagus, right, in the state of drinking at Chai. Now, by the asparagus, by the way, we said that you have to drink at Chai. What does that mean? It meant undiluted. So, over here, in terms of Chai, so presumably it's referring to it being undiluted. So stay tuned. We're going to discuss it just in more detail in just a moment. But anyway, we're jumping to number four. Amar Rav Yochanan kol mevercha kos malei nos nachla b'li mitzarim. So the cup's got to be full. Kosher bracha has to be full. That's the malay. Shenemro malay brachas Hashem yam v'daram yirasha. Rav Yosef Rav Chinen Omer zochem nochos shnei olamim olam hazev olam haba. And the Gemara quotes another statement regarding the efficacy or the benefit, I should say, of having a full cup, and that is you're going to get olam hazen olam haba as well. Okay, itor the Gemara, yeah, just for that. In other words, it's an added component, right? It you know it's a factor. Let's say it like that. Itur, the Gemara now talks about the crown of the kosher bracha. That needs a definition. So Rav Yehuda ma'atrei b'talmidim. So Rav Yehuda would adorn his cup with students, meaning the crown of his cup was the students that surrounded him. Rav Chista ma'atrei b'natlei. And Rav Chista, what he would do is he would crown his cups with small cups. So he'd have small little cups surrounding the big cup, and that would be his itur. That would be his crown. I'm Rav Chanan uvechai. Rav Chanan says uvechai. Now the Gemara over here is a little bit unusual because we just went a little bit out of order. Now we're going back to chai. Now I'm Rav Sheshes uvebirchas aretz. Now what exactly is meant over here? Chai birchas aretz. So the way Rashi explains it, Rashi chai shemoz go b'mayim la'achir shenasta b'kos chai, meaning when you're pouring it into the cup originally, you have to pour it in undiluted, and then afterwards you dilute it. Aval avarich alav chai hamran b'masisin mevarchin in the now we know that you can't make a bracha on the kosher bracha when it's undiluted. We saw that in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, we said that even though there is a dispute regarding the status of undiluted wine, it was a machlokas tanaim that we saw in yesterday's daf, machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. That's true. But we also said it was yesterday's daf. We also said that by kosher bracha, everyone agrees that it has to be diluted. So when the Gemara here is turning to the idea that it has to be undiluted, it just simply means it has to be poured into the cup undiluted. And once in the cup, then you dilute it. Now, that also, just give me one more second. That also explains what we just read in the Gemara. Ubebirchas haaretz, what does that mean? Is that when do you add the water? So you could have said you add the water at the beginning. Birchas haaretz, the way Rashi understands it, it's at that point in time when you start the bracha of Noda, that's when you dilute the wine. Why? What's the significance of diluting it during Birchas Haaretz? Not really clear to me, but the Gemara says that's the aspect of Chai. Ituf, we are talking now about wrapping. What does that mean as relates to Kosher Bracha? This is item number 6. Rapapa Ma'atev Yasiv. So Rapapa would wrap himself up, meaning it's not the cup, but it's himself. So he would, I don't know, maybe with a talus, not totally clear, but he would wrap himself up. When Rashi says talus, Rav Asi parasuja al reshe, Rav Asi would put on some sort of headgear when putting it on. I'd say a hat, but that's, you know, I'm speaking from a modern perspective back in the day. So they, you know, they had an extra wrap on their head that they wore out of respect, out of deference to the kosher bracha. Number 7, no labashe yadav, you take it with your two hands. I'm Rabbi Chinin bar Papa, Mikra. So yidechem kosher baruchus Hashem. So yidechem kodesh, lift up with your hands. So v'nosel, you mean then you put into your right hand. I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, v'sharem shalu. Now the earlier generations asked the following question. Small mashu tesayeh liyamin. Meaning you pick it up with both hands, but then you put it into your right hand. And so the question they had, the earlier generations, is can the left hand help the right hand? Why not just simply hold it up with the right hand? What's the big deal? So Tosfos over here points out, sometimes the cup gets heavy. So Tosfos on the bottom, small mouth should say elimin. So because it's gedolos mairi. So it could be that it's a very big cup. Oh, Berosh Chodesh Teves, Shechalios B'Shabbos, Shubha Chanukah. Or benching can be really long. Tosfos writes, right? Let's say you have a situation where it's Shabbos and Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh. So under those circumstances, it's the longest benching of the year. And so either the cup is really heavy or benching is really long. And so therefore, either one of those situations, you're going to want a little bit of help. The right hand is not going to be good enough. So can the left hand help the right hand? So I'm Rav Ashi, Alvar Yishonim Yibaylu, V'lo Yifshalahu. Rav Ashi comes up with an interesting conclusion. The early generations asked this question. They didn't give an answer to this question. Ana Navi L'chomer, so therefore we're going to be Machmer, and we're not going to allow the left hand to help the right hand. Now, that's an interesting conclusion, because what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a din d'oraisa? Talking about an issa d'oraisa? That by a suffix we're going to be machmir? I think the answer is yes, although I'm going to be a little bit hard-pressed to articulate what the issa d'oraisa is to hold the cup with both hands. The Gemara did quote a pasuk, but it's a pasuk in Tehillim, and that pasuk is only reflecting to pick it up with the two hands. Okay, hard to articulate exactly why they're going to be machmir on such an issue, but okay, that was the conclusion. Umagbim and a karka tefach, you have to pick it up from the ground. One tefach, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chinna, Maikra, Kos Yeshuas Esa, Uvishem Hashem Akra. So the cup is going to be lifted up. So that speaks to the idea that it has to be picked up. A significant amount is a tefach. Venosa Ein Abo, you got to be studying the cup. You have to be looking at the cup. So you don't have Hesach Hadas. You're focused on the task at hand. Umashagar Lanche Beso. Now, Bimatana. And this is the last of the things that are done. Now, this is not of the list of 10. It certainly didn't make it into Rav Yochanan's list. Even in the list of 10, by the way, this was an addendum. Right? If you go back to the bottom of the previous Amud, so the Gemara rattled off the 10, and then V'yesh Omrim. So this idea of sending it to your wife, so this is not one of the 10. It's a Yesh Omrim, and Rav Yochanan didn't even add it. It's certainly not one of Rav Yochanan's 4. But still, the Gemara is going to tell a story that is memorable. The Gemara starts off, Ki hechid tisparach devasayu. Sorry, before the Gemara tells the story, why are you sending the kosher bracha to one's wife so that she'll get a bracha? Meaning it's a kosher bracha, you're drinking from the kosher bracha, and by giving it to your wife, you're extending that bracha to your wife. Good, that's a simple idea. Now, Ula ikla lebe Rav Nachman, the Gemara tells the story of Ula heading to the house of Rav Nachman. Karach rifta, so they broke bread together, they had a meal, and baruch birchas mizona. And they benched afterwards. Now, presumably, Ula was the one leading in the benching. Yavle kastad berchasal Rav Nachman. So now, after Ula finished benching, then made a gafen on the kosher bracha, and then he gave the cup to Rav Nachman to have Rav Nachman drink from the kosher bracha. Meaning, we all know the idea, but it's pretty clear in the Gemara over here that you should have a drink from the kosher bracha. Okay, if you don't want it, you don't have to. There's no requirement to drink from the kosher bracha. But again, it's the idea that it's a kosher bracha. So why not drink from the kosher bracha? So he gives it to Rav Nachman to drink. Rav Nachman drinks. Amle Rav Nachman lishad mar kasdei berchasa liyalta. And so Rav Nachman says, don't forget my wife, right? Yalta's right here. Those of you who remember, so Yalta's come up a number of times in the Gemara. Rav Nachman's wife. She was a personality, and I'm being nice in the way I'm describing it. She was a significant personality. And the Gemara in Chulin, we saw it together. She made demands of her husband of wanting basa b'chalav. I know that sounds funny, but if you remember the Gemara, so you remember that that's what she demanded, and Rav Nachman complied. By the way, Rav Nachman did give her basa b'chalav. He gave her chal. Okay. Anyway, so here we are. So Yalta says, so Rav Nachman says to Ula, so please make sure to give my wife some of the kosher bracha as well. Amalei hachem Rav Yochanan. So Ula says, look, I'm not going to. And Rav Yochanan says, "Ein pri bitna shel isha mitbarech, and only pri bitna shel ish." How does a woman get bracha? She gets bracha through her husband. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ubarech pri bitnecha." Now you're going to be blessed with pri bitnecha. It said it in the possessive. It said in the masculine. Pri bitna lo namar, ela pri bitnecha. Doesn't say her betin. It says your betin. Meaning, how does it work? I mean, the way it works is that she's getting bracha through you. So you're going to drink the kosher bracha, and that'll be good enough for her. So Tanya Namehachi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa that supports this as well. Rabbi Nasan Amar, Minayin Shein Pri Bitna, Shalisha Mitbarech Elam Pri Bitna Shalish. That the bracha that goes to a wife is going through the conduit of her husband. The pasuk says, Shenemar Barech Pri Bitnecha, Pri Bitna Lo Nemar La Pri Bitnecha. Okay, so Ula has a halachic point. He is grounded. He has a Braisa supporting him as well. I'll also add, it's not one of the ten. I'll also add, Rav Yochanan did not distill it as one of his 4. Okay, so Ula was on solid ground. At the other time, there's also what's called the human condition, and that is that Yalta's right there. So Adahachi Shama Yalta. So Yalta's right there. So Kama Vizir, she gets up and she's angry. Va'alta lebe chamra, and she goes now to the cellar. V'tabra dala me'adane dechamra, and she breaks 400 barrels in the cellar. Okay, I think she's made her point. So Amalei Rav Nachman Nishtar La Mar Kasa Achrina. So Rav Nachman says, here's what I would suggest to you right now. I would suggest that you go get some more wine and maybe offer some wine. So Nishtar La Mar Kasa Achrina Shalach La. So another cup of wine is sent to her. But at this point in time, it's too late. Kol Ki Hai Navga Debrechasehi. So And the argument that they were making is, look, all the wine, even from where it came from, the source of where it came from, it's all kosher de berchasa. So, okay, fine. So you didn't get the original kosher bracha, but this will satisfy. This will do. So shalchalei. So she sends back the following. Memadure mile. So what do I get? I get these words from a peddler. Umimasmartute kame. And when you have a shmata, so that's where you're going to find the lice. And basically, it's her way of saying, it's what you're saying is nonsense, and I'm not buying any of it. Okay, so it didn't assuage her, and she was offended, to say the least. Amar Rav Asi, Ein Masichin a Koshel Bracha. Rav Asi says that you're not allowed to have any kind of distraction in the Koshel Bracha. And therefore what? So you take a look at the top, before I get to Tosfos. Right, take a look at Rashi and Masichin. Misha'achso Ashi Yavarech. So from the cup is taken into your hand until you make the bracha, so you have to be focused. Tosos adds to Rashi, right? Tosos top Tosos on the Amud Masichin. Akosho bracha, Perish Rashi, Shalo Yasiecha Mevarech Mishinasnalo Kosho bracha. Vehu Adina Masubim Shein Vashayim Lasiach. So once the cup is taken into hand, so then, not only should the person holding the cup be quiet, meaning quiet other than, of course, benching, but so should everybody else. Meaning it is the key, it's a sign to everybody that we are about to start benching. And remember, back in the day, they're listening to benching. So at this point in time, everyone needs to be quiet. Because over here, the way that benching is going to work is you have the person saying the benching or the people listening to the benching. So fine, so they're not allowed to have any kind of discussion. Red Tosos also adds, okay, Tosos goes on with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but that's it. Once the cup is held up, taken up in hand, so everyone's got to be quiet and totally focused on the benching. Also, don't make the kosher bracha kosher perennios. What does that mean? Literally, it means a cup of destruction. My kosher perennios, I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kosheni. It means that this represents now your second cup. What's wrong with your second cup? It's an even number. What's wrong with an even number? The Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim teaches us that there is a metaphysical ill in having something in zugos, in pairs. So pairs is a bad thing. I'm not sure if I can explain it any better, but the Gemara in Pesachim speaks to this idea that pairs are no good. So therefore, if this is cup number two, don't make it kosher bracha. Right? The Gemara doesn't give such advice, but drink it and then have a third cup. So now that won't be a zug, that won't be an even number cup, and that would be fine. Tanya Namachi shows the kiflaim loyvarch mishum shenemri kon lekrasel kach Yisrael v'haylo misakein. So the Brisa supports this as well. If this is kiflaim, if this is cup number two, your kefel cup, so that's it. Don't make a kosher bracha on it. Again, the Gemara here doesn't talk about remedies. My remedy, right? I say both, trying to be cute and at the same time true. Meaning, if you drink this one and then move on to your third, now you can use it as a kosher bracha. Or perhaps the remedy is not to bench over a kosher bracha. Maybe that's the remedy also. I'm not clear, but anyway. But the pasuk says that you have to prepare yourself before meeting a kadosh baruch hu. And over here, if this is a kosheni, it is now a zog. It's a kosher perennios, and therefore don't use it for the kosher bracha. Am Rabbi Abba v'Amri la b'masis etana ochel u'mehalech mevarch mu'umet. Now let's say you're eating on the run. Literally, you're walking while eating. So now for benching, you should stop. It's meaning you should stand still. Now, if you were eating while standing, so then you should bench while sitting. Now, if you're eating while reclining, you should sit up for benching. So over here, basically, based on where you started, how you started the meal, is going to indicate how exactly you should, what position you should be in for benching. But Ve'ilchazah, the Gemara over here concludes very, very solidly, B'kula Yoshev Mavarach. The best position to be in for benching is in a state of yeshiva. So regardless of how you are eating, so for benching, you should be in a state of yeshiva. My best guess is that this has to do with kavana. In other words, you're stationary sitting, so you're going to have the best opportunity to have the best kavana. Hajlach Shosh Sha'achlu, and that is the end of the seventh parak of the Masechta. And now let's begin parak number eight. That's right, Tamach Chacham. Right, the Gemara elsewhere says Tamach Chacham should not be eating b'shak. Correct. Okay. The eighth parak and the ninth parak have to do with assorted brachas, meaning we are now approaching the end of the Masechta of nine prakim. We've just concluded seven of the nine prakim. Prakims 1 through 5 dealt with Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. 1 through 3 was Shema, 4 and 5 was Shemoneh Esrei. Parak number 6, that dealt with Bracha Rishona. Parak number 7, Parak Shvi'i, which we just concluded, that has to do with benching. And now over here, an assortment of brachas. Parak Shmini, the 8th parak, is going to still keep us in the dining room at the table at various points in time. Kiddush, Havdalah, so we're still going to be at the table. And in the 9th parak, so then we're going to move on to brachas that apply outside of the dining room area, nature, Berachas Atov, Berachas of Dina Emes. That's going to be in the 9th parak of the Masechta. Let's begin here the 8th parak. Elu Dvarim, Shebein Beis Shammai uVeis Hillel B'Seuda. So there are going to be differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel at a Seuda, at a meal. And so over here in our Mishnah, we're going to go through 8 different machloksim that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding proper procedure sequencing of brachas at a meal. So, Beis Shammai Omrim Mevarech Al Yam V'Acher Kech Mevarech Al Yain. So here we're talking about Kiddush. And what is the proper order of Kiddush? Should I make a Borei Pri HaGafen, followed then by Kiddush, that's Mekadesh HaShabbos, or should I do it the other way around? Should I first make the Mekadesh Shabbos and then make the Bracha of Yain? What about Vayichulu? So you've heard me say this already numerous times, I'll say it again. Vayichulu is an addition that was added to Kiddush. It's not part and parcel of Kiddush per se. Obviously, it's thematically appropriate to say the paragraph of Vayichulu at that point in time. Obviously, Minhag Yisrael is to do so. But in terms of the essence of Kiddush, so it's not part of Kiddush. Kiddush is the Borei Pri HaGafen and the Bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos. So, which one should be done first? So that's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says that first you say alayom, meaning Mekadesh Shabbos, and then you make the bracha of wine. And Beis Hillel says that you make the bracha on wine, followed then by Kiddush. You can imagine, by the way, that in all these issues we're going to be following like Beis Hillel. So, right, if you think to yourself, what do I do on Friday night? Well, just exactly what Beis Hillel said. Again, we added the paragraph of Yechulu. I say we. I mean, it's been for generations. It's been for centuries. But the paragraph of Vayichulu has been added. But then after that, it's Borei Pri HaGafen first, then followed by Kedushas Hayom. Beis Shammai Omrim Notlin Yadayim V'Achakach Mozgin Hazakos. Beis Shammai says that you wash your hands and then you dilute the wine. Beis Hillel Omrim Mozgin Hazakos V'Achakach Notlin Yadayim. And Beis Hillel says that you are going to first dilute the wine and then you're going to do the Tilsi Yadayim. When we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand exactly what is at the issue over here. That will come up in the Gemara. Beis Shammai Omrim Mekanech Yadav Bemapa Uminicha Al HaShulchan. Beis Shammai says that you wipe your hands on the tablecloth and you put it, or on some sort, I'm sorry, on some sort of towel, and you put it on the table. Beis Hillel Omrim Al HaKesses, don't put it on the table, but put it on a cushion. Beis Shammai Omrim Mechabdim Asabais V'Achachach Not Liyadayim. Beis Shammai says that you sweep the house and then Mayim Achronim. Beis Hillel Omrim Not Liyadayim V'Achachach Mechabdim Asabais. Beis Hillel says that you wash your hands and then sweep the house. Beis Shammai Omrim Ner Mazon B'Samim V'Havdala. Now, in this next machlokas over here, we're describing a scenario in which you are, A, want to make Havdala, and B, you also want to have a meal. Now, of course, it's interesting because, generally speaking, we don't eat until after Havdala, but over here, presumably, it's either that we're talking about Shal Shudas over here, or we're talking about Malav Malka. But in other words, you know that you're going to be making Havdalah, but you only have one cup of wine, so you want to bundle together the kosher bracha of Birchas Hamazon together with Havdalah. And so basically now what we're going to learn together is, when I'm bundling that one cup of wine together, I know we just learned recently of Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos, that you're not allowed to bundle Mitzvos together. But over here, all right, it was Tosfos, I think it was Tosfos, that Birchas, by Birchas Hananin, there's no issue whatsoever. I know this is a quasi-mitzvah, because we're talking about Havdalah, we're talking about benching, but, okay, anyway. But, so we're taking this one cup of wine, and we are compounding in this one cup of wine, both benching and Havdalah. And now the only issue is sequence. What's the order? So according to Beit Shammai, Ner Mazon B'Samim V'Havdalah. So it's going to be first the Birchas HaNer, then it's going to be Birchas HaMazon. You're not going to drink the cup of wine, because remember, we're bundling a couple things over this cup of wine. Then you make the Birchas HaMesamim, and then afterwards Havdalah, and then you'll drink the cup of wine. Beis Hillel Omrim Ner B'Samim Mazon V'Havdalah. Now Beis Hillel is of the opinion that it's going to be Ner B'Samim, right, your two Havdalah items, followed then by Birchas HaMazon, followed then by Havdalah. Now you'll notice, by the way, that where do they agree? Ner comes first, and Havdalah comes at the end. Now Havdalah coming at the end probably has having to do with the idea that we see in Halacha numerous times, that you want to delay Shabbos. So Havdalah is said at the last moment. Near at the front end, they all agree to that. The question between them is the two middle. Besamim and Muslim, which should be the order. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss that. Beishame Amrim Shabara Ma'or Ha'esh. Ubeisila Amrim Bore Ma'orei Ha'esh. The nusach of the bracha as it relates to Ner. So it's a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll understand what the issue is. Ein mevarchen lo al haner v'lo al besamim shel akum. One is not to make a bracha on Ner nor besamim that belongs to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss that as well. V'lo al ner v'lo al besamim shel mesim. Neither of Ner and besamim of a mace. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss that as well. V'lo al ner v'lo al besamim shel Avodah Zarah. And Ner and besamim that was used in conjunction with Avodah Zarah, Vein Mevarchen Al Ner Achi Uso Leoro. And the bracha of Ner is only said once you benefit from the or. Mishach Veshachav Velo Birech. Now, let's say you ate and you forgot to bench, and now you moved on to a new location. Beit Shammai Omrim Yachzalim Kamo V'Yavarech. So Beit Shammai says you have to return back to the original location which you ate and bench only in the original location. Beis Hillel Omrim Yavarech Me'Makom Sheneizkar. Beis Hillel allows you the opportunity to bench where you remembered. Again, let's wait for the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to also modify this point of the Mishnah as well. Va'ad Masai, not today. Va'ad Masai Mevarech, ad kedei shetitakel hamazon shebemeyav. How long a period of time do you have post-eating in order to bench, and the amount of time where the food is digested? Meaning, you're still benefiting from the food that you ate. Balahem yain achar hamazon, im ein sham ela oso kos, be'sham omim mevarech alayam v'achakach mevarech alamazon. So let's say wine comes to you after the meal has concluded, and it's only that one cup. So Beit Shammai says that you make a bracha on the wine, and then make a bracha on mazon. Beis Hillel Omrim Mevarech LaMazon, V'Achakach Mevarech LaYayin. And Beis Hillel says, no, first bench, and then make a bracha over this cup of wine. V'onim Amen Acha Yisrael HaMevarech. Now, if a Jew makes a bracha, you could say Amen to the bracha. Not only can you, you should. V'onim Amen Acha Kusi HaMevarech Ad Shishma Kol HaBracha Kula. But what the Mishnah's point over here is as follows. Let's say you hear a bracha that's said by a kusi. Now, kusi over here probably means non-Jew. I mean, it could be understood literally, but it could be non-Jew. Just an interesting idea which the Mishnah kind of glosses right over, and that is that it does qualify as a bracha, and it does give you the opportunity to say amen. Okay, you could have argued simply that that in itself is a tremendous chiddush. But the Mishnah blows by that point, and the Mishnah's point over here is a subtler point, which is that in order to say Amen after the Berachas HaKusi, you have to hear the entire bracha. Meaning, if by a bracha, Yisrael, all you did is came at the end. But, in other words, you heard the end of the bracha and affords the opportunity to say Amen. What's the issue when it comes to HaKusi? So you don't know how the bracha started off with. Meaning, how does the bracha start? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So obviously, we are invoking Shem Hashem. And we're obviously, the bracha is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the problem with the Kusi, might not have been to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am I right? They worship idols. And so it could be that the bracha was invoking another deity. There isn't, but in other words, but they're invoking it. And so you're saying amen to that? So the only way you could say amen to their bracha is only if you hear the entire bracha. Okay, we'll start with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. No, I'll tell you what. Let's leave it off here. Tomorrow morning we'll start with the Gemara. We will go over every one of the issues in the Mishnah. We're going to go over in greater detail as we head through this eighth parak. It's a short parak. We're here for just a little bit. And we'll pick it up tomorrow at the beginning of the Gemara. Just a quick recap. Today, we spoke out the question of whether or not one can make a bracha after they ate. They forgot to make a bracha during the meal. Can you make a bracha after the meal? The Gemara's answer is no. But admittedly, it was a tough piece of Gemara to just follow along. The Gemara's discussion regarding the potion of asparagus took up a lot of real estate in today's daf. Two varieties, the wine and the beer, and the Gemara spoke about both physical and metaphysical aspects of it. The bottom of Nanafa Madaf took us through kosher bracha. 10 requirements by kosher bracha, perhaps even 11th, and Rav Yochanan distilling it to 4 out of the 10. We went through each of the 10, explaining what each of them were. According to the Yesharim, you should give the kosher bracha to your wife. And the Gemara recounted on the top of the Amud Beis the story regarding Alta, where she was not given the kosher bracha, and she didn't react favorably. Okay, I know, it's not nice the way I said it. And then the Gemara just gave us a couple more halachas when finishing the perek, not to make the kosher bracha on the kosher pranios, meaning not to do it on an even number, Parenthetically, by the way, people are not careful. I'm saying this as a, you know, it's just not our practice. People are not careful about counting the number of cups they had over the course of the meal. We're just not makpid and zugos. It's not something that we concern ourselves with anymore. I didn't mention that during the daf. And then finally, the last halacha we learned in the Mishnah was that you should be benching while sitting. It is the best position to be in order to have the best kavana. And then we started the eighth parak. We went through all the debates in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, really superficially. I'm leaving the Gemara to explain a lot of the debates that take place over there. But when it comes to a meal, Kiddush, Avdallah, and other aspects of the meal, so there are eight debates that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We went through them. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara.